Gospel of Mark, chapter number 11, is where we'll be for tonight. And give you a thought that God gave to us a few weeks back. And see if we can't be a blessing to you. Mark, chapter number 11. And if you want to stand, we'll begin reading in verse 27. Mark 11, 27. And let's read a few verses tonight, just so we understand the text and the context. And from these verses, we'll find a thought. Mark 11, 27. The Bible says, "And then come again, Then they come again to Jerusalem. And as he was walking in the temple, there come to him the chief priest and the scribes and the elders, and say unto him, By what authority doest thou these things? And who gave thee this authority to do these things? And Jesus answered and said unto them, I will also ask you one question, and answer me, and I will tell you by what authority I do these things. The baptism of John, was it from heaven or of men? Answer me. And they reasoned within themselves, saying, If we shall say from heaven, he will say, Why then did you not believe him? But if we shall say of men, they feared the people, for all men counted John that he was a prophet indeed. And they answered and said unto Jesus, We cannot tell. And Jesus answered and said unto them, Neither do I tell you by what authority I do these things. And he began to speak unto them by parables. And a certain man planted a vineyard, and set a hedge about it, and digged a place for the wine fat, and built a tower, and let it out to husbandmen, and went into a far country. And at the season he sent to the husbandman a servant, that he might receive from the husbandman of the fruit of the vineyard. And they caught him, and beat him, and sent him away empty. And again he sent unto them another servant, and at him they cast stones, and wounded him in the head, and sent him away shamefully handled. And again he sent another, and him they killed, and many others, beating some and killing others. Having yet therefore one son, his well-beloved, he sent him also last unto them, saying, They will receive my son. But those husbandmen said among themselves, This is the heir. Come, let us kill him, and the inheritance shall be ours. And they took him and killed him, and cast him out of the vineyard. What shall therefore the Lord of the vineyard do? He will come and destroy the husbandmen, and will gather the vineyard unto and will give the vineyard unto others. And have you not read the scriptures? The stone which the builders rejected has become the head of the corner. This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Father, thank you for the opportunity to be here, for your good Holy Spirit. And I pray you help us as we preach. We ask this in Jesus' name, and amen. Amen. The last Sunday night that I preached was three Sunday nights ago. 2 weeks ago, we actually didn't have any preaching, and then last Sunday night, Brother Eli was with us and he preached. But the last time we met together, I mentioned to you that beginning in Mark chapter 11 and forward, the frequency wherewith Jesus goes back and forth to Jerusalem is increased. This is now the week of the Passover, and we know that this would be the last week in the earthly life of the ministry of Christ. Calvary was near, it was looming on the horizon. And Jesus, knowing that his time had come, begins to do things like riding into the city on a donkey and driving out the money changers from the temple. He does this both to get the attention of the people and to anger the religious leaders. Jesus wanted to publicly announce himself for who he was. For the first time, he doesn't say, Don't tell anybody, keep it to yourself, kind of keep this on the hush. Instead, he rides a donkey into the temple on Palm Sunday and publicly announces that he is indeed the Messiah of God, the rightful heir to the throne of David. His time had come, and it was time for people to make a decision. By announcing himself as Messiah, it forced the people to decide something about him. And I told you, every time the gospel is preached today, a decision is made about Jesus Christ. Every time the gospel is preached. Not only that, but Jesus wanted to make sure that the Jews moved toward his death. They normally would not have done this on a most holy occasion like Passover. But the things he does so angers them
that they are going to ask for his death. They are going to have the Romans crucify him. He must and he will become the Lamb of God. When you look at the end of chapter number 11 through chapter number 12, Jesus once again enters into Jerusalem. This time he does so with a series of questions coming his way. He came the first time on that donkey, came the second time and drove out the money changers. And now he comes the third time, and as he does, a series of questions are asked to him. Four questions to be exact. They'll ask him four questions before chapter 12 ends. And then at the end of chapter 12, Jesus will ask them a question of his own. This question will silence them and it will determine his fate. And we'll see that next Sunday night. We may look at these questions collectively in the future, but tonight I want us to look at the first question. It is given in chapter number 11, verse 27 and following. They come to him and ask him by what authority he does the miracles that he does. The reason I want to look at this question independently from the others is this. This question determines eternity and it determines who is in control of our lives. Tonight I want to preach on this thought, a matter of authority. A matter of authority. There are three things I want you to see from our text. Number one, I want you to write this down. Write down there's those who are seeking authority. Those who are seeking authority. Verse 27, they come again to Jerusalem. And as he was walking into the temple, there come to him the chief priests and scribes and elders, and they say unto him, by what authority dost thou these things? And who gave thee this authority to do these things? When Jesus comes to Jerusalem for the third time, he is met with a question. They ask him, by what authority are you doing these things? Or who gave you the authority that you have to do the things you're doing? These men, the chief priests and the elders, the reality is this. They had every right to ask him the question that they are asking him. In fact, it was their duty and it was their responsibility to question and to judge all those who claim to be sent from God. As the leaders of Israel, that's what they were supposed to do. They were supposed to examine those that made a claim as Jesus had made according to Deuteronomy chapter number 18. Therefore, the problem is not that they ask him the question. The problem is the motive in which they ask him the question. You see, the reality is this. These men did not want to know the truth of who Jesus was or by what authority he did the things he was doing. They only asked him this question because they wanted to discredit him. Allow me to say this and I'll move on. Jesus has never and will never turn anyone away that honestly seeks for truth and seeks for God. God's not in the business of turning people away. You remember in Acts chapter number 11, there's a Gentile man by the name of Cornelius. And in Acts chapter 10, actually. In Acts 10, there's a man by the name of Cornelius. And he is humbly and he is honestly seeking for God. He wants to know God. He wants to know more about God. And so in his search for God, the Bible says an angel appears to him and says, send for a man at Joppa by the name of Peter, and he will come and tell you what it is you're looking for. They go send for Peter. He comes to Cornelius' house. He said, what in the world am I doing here? Cornelius said, I want to know something about God. And Peter preached to him Jesus Christ, and he was saved, and his household was saved. Can I say, God doesn't turn anybody away that's really and honestly looking for him. God appears to all those that are seeking for him and seeking for truth. When a man or a woman longs for God and looks for God in their soul, it will not be long before God reveals himself and shows himself to them. According to our text, however, Jesus Jesus knew that they were asking this question for another purpose other than truth. Therefore, instead of answering their question and revealing to them the authority of God, Jesus asked them a question in return. Here's the question he asked them. John the Baptist, was he from God or not? They didn't know how to handle that, Brother David. If they said, yes, truly, John was from God, then they knew the next question coming. Then why didn't you do what John said to do? But if they said, no, John is not sent from God, then the people are going to get angry because the people believe John was a prophet sent from God. And so they would lose credit. They would lose the hold they had on some of the people. And so what authority do you do these things? He asked them a question instead. Oh, these people, they weren't seeking for truth. Dr. Warren Wiersbe one time said this. He said, God does not teach us new truth if we have rejected the truth he has already revealed. You see, there are people who are seeking for spiritual insight. They are seeking for answers in their life. They are seeking for help with a situation. And these same people are not willing to accept the truth and the light that God has already given to them. Oh, can I say tonight two things very quickly? Can I say, number one, if God has revealed himself to you as Savior, you are going to have to deal with that before he deals with you in other areas of your life. Amen. Oh, there are people, they want to get something squared away. They want to get their life fixed up. They want to start coming to church and they want to turn over a new leaf. But they never deal with that main question. They never deal with that most important question. God reveals himself as Savior, and they try to just join the church, and they try to just give a little bit, and they try to just come every once in a while. But that's not what God is dealing with them about. God is not going to deal with anything else until they deal with that thing. They must accept him. Oh, but let me say beyond that, if you are saved and God has revealed something to your life, you are going to have to deal with that thing he is speaking to you about before he deals with you about anything else. You must handle the truth he has given you, the light he has given you, before he gives you new light. Have you ever thought to yourself before, why does God keep saying the same thing to me over and over and over again? I have thought before, Brother Scott, why do I keep preaching the same message over and over again? I've thought that before. I thought, man, I said this last Sunday. I think I did, just in a different way. Do you know why sometimes God says the same things to us over and over and over again? It's because we didn't get it when he said it. And so he's got to say it again and say it again and say it again. Sometimes Jesus gave a truth. Sometimes he said, verily, before he gave a truth. And sometimes he said, verily, verily. Sometimes he said it more than once. We got to get it before he can move on. And we're saying, Holy Ghost, move on and give me something else. But God's saying, you've not got this yet. You've got to deal with this. There are things in my life. Sometimes they're good things and sometimes they're bad things. Sometimes there's sin, and God shows me a sin, and God shows me an area I need and can do better. And do you know something I've discovered? It's hard to move on past that until I deal with that. Amen. You try to forget it. You try to go on and just live life around it. You try to come to church and pretend like it's not there, but God keeps saying it, and God keeps saying it, and God keeps saying it. And do you know the best thing you can do? Submit and surrender that thing to God. Get it right so he can move on and you can too. But do you know sometimes it's not always sin? There have been things God has asked me to do, and I have thought if I ignore it, it will go away. But you know what I've discovered? It doesn't go away. Usually if I try to ignore it, it's followed by the Holy Spirit saying, didn't I tell you to do that? And God says it, and he says it, and he says it, until I do the thing that he asked me to do. You see, these men come seeking authority. By what authority do you do these things? And Jesus said, well, you're going to have to deal with the light you've been given first before you can handle the light of what authority I'm doing these things. You got to deal with John the Baptist first. You see, the reality is this. If they had accepted John the Baptist, the light that God had gave them, if they had accepted that light, Brother Wally, they wouldn't be asking what authority he did the things he did. They would know what authority he had to do the things he did because they would know God, the one John had told them about. But you got to deal with John before you can deal with anything else. And I wonder if there's somebody here tonight and you've got a John the Baptist in your life. Could be a good thing, could be a bad thing, but you've got a John the Baptist and you're trying to move on and you're trying to get something else from God and go somewhere else with God and do something else for God, and God's not going to let you do it until you deal with your John the Baptist first. Deal with the light, deal with the truth he's already given you. I see those that are seeking authority. Number two, I see those that are not submitting to authority. Those that are not submitting to authority. Beginning in chapter 12, verse number 1, Jesus begins to tell them a parable. And it's a parable of a man that plants a vineyard. He digs the rows. He hedges it about. He gets everything ready at the wine fat. He builds a tower. He does everything that he needs to do in this vineyard. And then the Bible says he lends it out to husbandmen. He gives it to a group of farmers, a group of gardeners that will work this vineyard for him. When the Jews refuse to answer the question, the Lord tells them this story. According to Jewish law, a man that was a field owner, if he lent his field out to tenant farmers or to husbandmen, when, as it said in our text, according to Jewish law, that man had to, at some point, receive fruit from his vineyard. Because that if he didn't receive fruit from his vineyard, then he forfeited the right to own that land. And it would be turned over to those that operated it for him. Therefore, in our text, when the time comes, the owner of the field sends a servant to collect fruit so that he can maintain his rightful authority. It's still a topic of authority. He can maintain his rightful authority over this vineyard. And when the servant comes, instead of the husbandman giving him the fruit that he has come after, the Bible says that they beat him. They humiliate him and they send him away. And he sends another servant, and they cast stones at him and wound him in the head, and again, shamefully, send him away. And over and over and over again it goes. They reject the man's servants one after the other. Again, this is all a matter of ownership. This is all a matter of authority. They did not want to submit to the authority of the man that owned the vineyard. That's why they would not give the servant the fruit. When the owner finally realizes that they are not going to accept the servants, he comes up with a plan. He said, here's what I will do. I have one son. He is my well-beloved son. I will send him, and surely they will accept my son. Surely they would not reject my well-beloved, my only son. Maybe I could say it this way, my only begotten son. But according to the story, the tenant farmers reject the son just as they had rejected the servants that were before him. In fact, they not only reject the son, they move with anger against the son and they kill him. There's absolutely no doubt who Jesus is talking about in this story. God is the owner. They are the tenant farmers. He is the son. God has sent them time and time again servants. And time again they rejected those servants. In fact, just recently they had rejected John the Baptist. They had rejected those servants. Now God has sent them His only Son. And they were in the process of rejecting Him. In fact, God's Son was standing right before them, and soon they would not only reject Him, but they would ask for Him to be crucified. All of this is a matter of authority. There's no doubt that these men knew Jesus was who He claimed He was. I don't think there's any doubt about that at all. He fulfilled each and every Old Testament prophecy. From before His birth to Bethlehem to His life, again and again and again He fulfilled Scriptures. These men knew who He was. If they knew who He was, that He had fulfilled these prophecies, then the question is this: why didn't they accept Him? I'll tell you why they didn't accept Him. Because to accept Him, they had to be willing to let go of their control they had over the people, and they were not willing to let that control go. Do you realize that that same struggle takes place in the hearts and the lives of men and women even still yet today? When a lost sinner is presented with the truth of Christ, they have to make a decision, and that decision is a decision of authority. Who's in control of your life? Will they give control of their heart and their life to God, or will they continue to have that control for themselves? There are people that have a man of God, a servant in our text, a man of God, stand before them with a message of truth. They will realize that it is from God, that God wants control of their life, and yet they will reject the message, reject the messenger, and ultimately reject God, and they will do it all because they do not want to give God the authority over their life. Oh, but do you realize that there are men and women that have at one time yielded control of their life to God and they were saved, but at some point, usually something happened, and when that thing happened, usually it was something that they did not like, they take that control back of their life. And there are people today that are struggling with God and fighting with God. Oh, I'm not saying they've not been saved. I'm just saying they got a problem with authority. And they're fighting with God and they're struggling with God over who's in control of their life. And God's trying to have the control and God's trying to be at the steering wheel. And God's trying to lead, but they don't want to let God lead. They don't want to do it God's way. They don't want to go where God says go and do what God says do. They're trying their best to live their life their way, and it's always a fight. You say, why do I feel like I'm always fighting? Maybe God wants the control, and you want the control, and somebody's going to have to give. That's right, friend. That authority. Who has authority in our life? I'm telling you, I've said this a minute ago, the best thing you can do is submit your life to God. I remember when I was 14, I was saved at Bays Mountain Baptist Church. We'd started going there. I was actually saved at home, but as a result of going to Bays Mountain Baptist Church, I'd heard the preaching of the gospel, and God got to moving in my life. And I got saved there in the living room at Mom and Dad's house. I submitted to God that day. I remember a little youth meeting that they had at Bays Mountain one night. And I believe it was Brother Jimbo Seaton preached that night. And he preached about seeking the right one that God would have you to marry. Brother David, nobody knows this. Nobody in my house did because I did it by myself. I got down in my bedroom that night and I began to pray and I submitted my life to the will of God. And I said, God, I'll take whoever you got for me. I only really dated one girl, and she's sitting right over there. Amen. They say, how did that work out? Because I submitted to God's authority. Amen. I remember surrendering my call to preach. That was a struggle. I remember since then, hey, Brother Wally, I remember being out mowing my grass one day and God dealing with my heart as I listened to a message on my headphones, stopping the lawnmower, getting out in the yard and laying there in my grass and submitting myself to God all over again. The best thing you can ever do for your life is when you take your life and you just let go of it and give it to God. You say, well, I don't know what that's going to mean for me. I don't know what God's going to do. You don't have to know what God's going to do. You just trust Him and you submit to Him. You just give it to Him. There are those who are seeking with authority. There are those who would not submit to authority. And there were those who struggled with authority. Last of all, there were those who struggled with authority. Verse number 9 of chapter 12 says, "What shall therefore the Lord of the vineyard do? He will come and destroy the husbandman and give the vineyard unto others. And have you not read the scripture? The stone which the builders rejected has become the head of the corner. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes." When Jesus finishes His parable, He asked them one more question. He said, What shall therefore the Lord of the vineyard do? Now, Mark doesn't give us an answer to that question, but Matthew does. Matthew 21:41 says, this is the way they answer the question, "What shall therefore the Lord of the vineyard do? They said unto Him, He will miserably destroy those wicked men, and will let out His vineyard unto other husbandmen, which shall render Him the fruits in their seasons." What about that? What will the Lord of the vineyard do? Well, they'll destroy those miserable people. That's what they'll do. He'll destroy them. I'm not sure if they realized it or not, but they were pronouncing their own judgment. Jesus tells them that they had rejected the Son and they had rejected the stone, and according to verse number 10, they would be judged because of it. In fact, Matthew 22, the next chapter after they answer that question, Jesus tells them the result of their rejection. He said, and again He sent forth servants, saying, "Tell them which are bidden, behold, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fatling are killed, and all things are ready. Come into the marriage." And they made light of them and went their way, one to his farm, another to his merchandise. And the remnant took servants and entreated them spitefully and slew them. But when the king heard thereof, he was wroth, and sent forth his armies and destroyed those murderers and burned up their city. Then said he to the servants, "The wedding is ready, but they which are bidden are not worthy. Go therefore into the highways, and as many as ye shall find, bid them to the marriage." Jesus said, I tell you what will happen because of that rejection. I will destroy you. I will send judgment to you. He said, I will send my armies and destroy those murderers and burn their city. Several years ago, there was a saying that became very popular. You've heard it. You've seen it on t-shirts and bumper stickers and baseball caps. It said, "Jesus is my co-pilot." And I remember when I saw that for the very first time, I thought, boy, that seems wrong to me. Amen. You see, the truth is that Jesus didn't get on to ride, friend. He got on to drive. There are people that want Jesus to take them to heaven. They want Him when the end of their life comes. In fact, they'll tell you, "I know I need to accept Jesus one day. I promise you I'll get saved sometime." You see, what they want is Jesus to just kind of hang around while they ride their life to the end. And then at the very end, they want to just give it to God. But that's not the way salvation works. Oh, I believe people can get saved on their deathbed. The thief on the cross got saved just moments before death. But I'm not going to roll the dice and risk it. I may never make it to 500 Green Hill Road tonight. I may be in an automobile accident and enter eternity. I may never make it home. I'd want to be right with God tonight. There are some people that would say, "Preacher, it's like I'm fighting a battle." Maybe you are fighting a battle because God's trying to lead. God's trying to drive. And you're trying to drive. I wonder, as I close and as Brother Scott gives us a song of invitation, the greatest day of your life will be the day you accept Jesus Christ. Amen. The second greatest day of your life will be the day that you give full control of your life to Jesus Christ. Amen. Those two things aren't always happening on the same day. So I ask you this, number one, are you saved? Have you given up that control? Boy, I would accept Christ, because if you don't, Friend, there's judgment waiting that you do not want to face. And then let me say this. If you're saved, have you given your life to God? Or are you still trying to drive? Are you still trying to lead? Sheep don't lead shepherds. Shepherds lead sheep.
Amen.
And shepherds don't drive sheep. They lead sheep.
Amen.
God's trying to lead you. And you say, well, I'm fighting a battle. It may be that He'd like to lead you into the paths of righteousness. He'd like to take you next to those still waters and those green pastures, but you won't let Him because you're wanting to lead. Maybe tonight you want to just come and say, I'm prepared just to be a sheep tonight. I'm just going to let you lead. Brother Scott, you sing. If you've got a need in your life, you come.